It is safe to say that either through observation or personal experience, you most likely know that, yeah, it is flu season. Of course, when a person gets sick, it's all about them, which is one of the reasons why the flu can spread so fast. Toughing it out by going to work or school just makes more people prone to the flu virus. Is a flu vaccine all that's needed? Are you among the high-risk groups when it comes to the flu? Joining us now is someone who can answer those questions and make you more aware of how to prevent or, well, if it's too late, effectively deal with the flu. He's a member of the Infectious Diseases Department at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, as well as director of the World Health Organization's Collaborating Center on the Ecology of Influenza in Animals and Birds, Dr. Richard Webbe. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And stjude.org, learn more about the work of that organization. I certainly encourage you to support that organization on a personal note. And, well, as far as flu season's rank, Doctor, how rank is this season?
Yeah, so this one is shaping up to be a pretty bad one. You know, it's not anything out of the ordinary in terms of what we expect from flu, but when we look at what's gone on in the past decade or so, this one's probably going to rank up there near the top.
And when we say a flu virus, there's no consistent, there's a variety of flu viruses. How do we know what's going to be the dominant one, or is it one that just rules the roost, or are the varieties, but just one is more dominant?
Yeah, so the real answer to that is yes to all of that. So the flu viruses that circulate in human, there's really four major types of those. That's why the vaccine we get actually has four components. But even within those four groups, there's a lot of variation in those viruses. But your point about in a given season, there is actually typically one of those four that dominates. And so this year, it's a virus that we call H3N2 that's causing the vast majority of activity in the U.S. at least.
I mentioned in the intro you work with St. Jude, but also you work with the WHO. And part of your tasks every year is to, I guess, play flu forecaster. What do you use as far as your research material, and how accurate do you hopefully wish it to be?
Well, we'd wish it to be 100% accurate,
yes.
But that's unfortunately not always the case. But so, yeah, you're right. The decision about what should go in the vaccine, just because of how long it takes to actually make the vaccine, is made some 6 months before the vaccine goes into people's arms. And so, you know, in some respects, it is a little bit of a forecast, a bit of a guess, but it's not sort of a guess in a void. So the World Health Organization has this network of laboratories set up, over 140 around the globe, that collect viruses during the flu seasons and characterize them. So we meet a couple of times, typically in Geneva a year, once to make recommendations about what we think should go into the Northern Hemisphere vaccine and once for the Southern Hemisphere. And we look at all of that information collected, you know, from across the globe from these 140-odd labs and use that to predict what strain we think is going to be dominant in 6 months' time.
Dr. Richard Webbe, who is the member of the Infectious Diseases Department at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, as I mentioned, WHO Collaborating Center on the Ecology of Influenza in Animals and Birds. stjude.org is a website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as the flu vaccine, Doctor, what's one of the biggest myths about it, and how much risk does that myth create for people's health?
So the biggest pushback I get when I start to talk to people about the flu vaccine is the statement that, well, last time I got the flu vaccine, I got sick. And so the one part of that, the flu vaccine certainly cannot give you flu. So it's an inactivated, killed vaccine. So there's certainly no way that the shot itself would give you flu. Some of the problems with influenza vaccine and the perception of it is, you know, of course we get it before winter starts to come along. And so often people will may get the vaccine and then perhaps catch a common cold, which the flu vaccine won't protect you against. And often people will associate that cold with a vaccine and say, well, either the flu vaccine got me sick or it didn't work. You know, and so the first part of that is not true, but the second part of that, the flu vaccine, you know, it's a vaccine that works. Does it work as well as we would like it to every year? And the answer to that is, you know, certainly not. But, you know, it does work. This year, it's not the greatest of seasons for the vaccine, but CDC's estimating somewhere around 30% effectiveness for that H3 component, which is the dominant strain circulating. And, you know, when you think about that, that's 30% less chance of hospitalization. So it's, yeah, it's not where we would ideally want it to be, but it's certainly still worth getting.
And certainly when you look at last year's numbers, where hospital doctor visits were over 10 million among the 25 million flu victims last year, any reduction in that number is a positive step.
Absolutely.
What you said about, for whatever reason, whether it's body chemistry or whatever the situation is, that people fear getting sick off of the flu vaccine, does that risk of getting sick for whatever reason is reduce if you on a regular basis get your flu vaccine, as opposed to not having gotten one for 10 years and you go down to CVS and they shoot you in the arm and the next day you got the sniffles?
You know, that's a really interesting point. And I guess technically that could be true. So your immune system, of course, when it sees a vaccine repeatedly, perhaps it doesn't respond as robustly to that vaccine. Yeah, it's probably not going to give you sniffles, but if you don't get the vaccine for a while and go and get it, you might get that lump on your arm might be a bit sore for perhaps a few more days, but it still shouldn't give you the sniffles.
It's probably important for people to remember, too, the flu vaccine, you get it before you get the flu. Getting it after you get the flu, it's not really going to make a big difference.
No, unfortunately not. Although, on that point, sometimes what we see during a flu season is when we have one strain dominating early in the season, sometimes we do get a later peak of activity with one of the other flu viruses. So, there is, as I said before, four components to the flu vaccine. So, even if you're getting infected with one of those strains, there are still three components of that vaccine that, could potentially do you help further down the line. But no, the basic premise is right. You want to get that flu shot before the flu season starts, before the virus starts circulating. That's the ideal time to get it.
Yeah, we have to wrap up here. But at this point in time, if you do get whacked with the flu, obviously don't try to be macho or tough about it. Stay home, get through it. 7 to 10 days with the proper care, you probably get through it. If you do go out, just really be extra sanitary, especially when you consider, too, that you don't want to transmit the flu virus to someone with a respiratory infection, COPD, for example, or someone who's going through, as Dr. Webby certainly is, firsthand knowledge of at St. Jude, pediatric cancer patients whose immune systems are already out of whack because of what they're being forced to go through because of their health. It's really, not, like I said in the intro, it's not all about you when it comes to the flu. You have to worry about your surroundings and the people in it. I put a link up over our website, too, because Dr. Webby wrote a recent article for Time Magazine last month with some really common sense ideas, a lot of good information, too, about the flu and the flu vaccine, and just some easy things to do to make sure that everyone around you stays healthy if you get stupid and you don't stay healthy. So we'll put that link over to our website, issuesandideasradio.com. It's also where you can learn more about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, stjude.org. Dr. Richard Webby, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Appreciate it.